Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. It's Anissa.
And it's Ellen.
And it's Anissa and Ellen
Raw. This podcast is not about Anissa and I coming on here and talking about, oh, woe is me, and this is my life, and this is what we did last week, and this is what I ate. And we talk a lot about things from our perspectives, but there are topics and things that we hope will speak to women of our age going through the same things. We're not here to give advice. This podcast is to bring other people and their perspective and their stories and their expertise to everybody out there.
Everybody has a story to tell. We're all storytellers, but being able to show up in your truth without being judged
exactly
is what we're about. Hey, everybody, it's Anissa.
And this is Ellen.
And it's Anissa and Ellen Raw.
Hey, Mama, how are you? We always say the same thing. How are you? How is it going? What's going on?
Well, we were just saying how we haven't seen each other since Monday. And
I know, that's really weird.
Wednesday, and that's weird for us since we work together. But
yeah, we're just a couple of floors down, but it's so busy right now. So it's hard to walk away from the desk right now to like say hi and get a hug.
But yeah, because everybody has so many questions. They're trying to get everything done, and so you can't be whatever. But
I know.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's cold.
Oh my gosh.
No, Anissa didn't wear a jacket.
Coat. So we're getting out of the car. Ellen's like, where's your coat? I'm like, well, obviously I don't have one. If I'm not wearing, what's in my car? I decided not to wear it. No, I just didn't. I don't know. You know, I was worried about everything else getting out of the house this morning, and I didn't think about the coat.
I have a pretty thick sweater / sweatshirt, and I told Anissa walking in, I'm sorry, I would give you my coat, but I'm too cold. I love you, but I'm not going to share my coat with you.
There you go. And that is okay. It wasn't that
far. So we walked hurriedly in. Who's here with us today?
Oh, our favorite guest.
I know. Our resident health and fitness expert.
That's right.
Melissa Lane. She's just coming back from Mania. Tell us a little bit about what happened at Mania.
Yeah, tell us about that.
What happened at Mania? Had a rough travel week, but got there. It was cold. Boston people are great. Boston people want to learn. They come to lectures. They soak it all up. Got back, drove from the airport to Dawsonville on a mini donut, you know, 50 miles an hour in the slow lane.
Yeah.
I was actually glad when construction slowed us way down on 285 so people weren't zooming way past me. But anyway, AAA was awesome and come home.
So. I know. I saw your post about it. And for those of you who don't know what Mania is, it's a huge fitness conference convention. And Melissa is a rock star presenter.
It's actually
attends.
My favorite convention because I feel like all of the presenters are really in it because they love it. Like I've never had a bad lecture that I've ever attended at Mania because they're just... Everyone who's doing it is so passionate about it, and the information is so good. But, of course, yours was my favorite.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you did one on hormones, and I was just hormones and the different nutritional things that you could do with that. It was so good.
Anything that Melissa talks about is so good.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I feel like every time she's around, I need, like, a little notebook or a tape recorder.
For sure. I mean, it was standing room only. We in Atlanta, when I saw you, there was people lined up in the back and almost into the hallways because you sell out, yo.
She does.
Atlanta's another one. They love their info. Mm-hmm. They love their info as much as they like to move. So
tell them what you're going to talk about today.
Tonight we're going to talk about sugar.
Yay!
Specifically, processed sugar.
Yes.
Not the good old sugar in fruit, which is perfectly fine.
Right.
But the stuff that we get addicted to.
Yes.
And we do. It is an addiction. Sugar is 8 times as addicting as cocaine.
Yeah, I heard that it was the most addictive substance on the planet. I mean, if you think about it, it really, really is. Like look at Anissa's face is like, what?
What?
I know.
So, but is that because, like when I was a kid, there was no problem with it because it wasn't in everything. So, you know,
correct.
You had, if we had the occasional on vacation, have a Pop-Tart for breakfast or you had, you know, some type of home-baked dessert or a Chips Ahoy or an Oreo growing up. I don't remember there being, first of all, any talk about it. And secondly, I just don't really even remember it being a problem. Why do you think that is, that now it's like so overwhelming?
Yeah.
There's several reasons. Probably the number one reason is you hit the nail on the head. It's in everything. Mm-hmm. So we're eating it all the time. You ready for this statistic?
Oh, my gosh.
There is more sugar in 3 tablespoons of ketchup than there is in a Krispy Kreme glazed donut.
Stop it. Stop it.
Now, I'm not saying the Krispy Kreme donut is good. It's full of fat.
But you do, but that doesn't, like,
but if you're going to have your sugar,
process
have the
it in my
Krispy Kreme,
I
not
agree,
the ketchup.
Totally.
Well, and
I
what's
agree,
so
totally.
Funny about ketchup is when I think of eating ketchup, I think, oh, okay, now, if I'm going to eat the ketchup with these French fries, I'm just going to get the fries without the salt on them because they get, you know, the ketchup will. I don't even think anything about the sugar. I mean, I'm sure that it's in there, but.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy smokes.
That's why my husband went to, like, dipping it in mustard, and I kept going, that's so gross. He's like, do you know how much sugar's in there? But he didn't know the statistic. And he's like, there's a
wow.
lot of sugar.
I don't know exactly how many grams.
But more than the Krispy Kreme.
Yes.
Okay, so why is it that. I mean, I guess any substance, but why is it that sugar is so addictive? Like, what is it about it? I mean, obviously, it tastes good when you mix it in stuff, but...
It's a drug.
Is there anything in it that however you make it or however it's...
Most of the sugar that's in our food is high fructose corn syrup,
okay.
Right.
Which is processed, obviously, from our corn, still a lot of sucrose, some waste products, and obviously it's used as a preservative. So it's in everything. So the reason we didn't get addicted when we were little is because we'd have 3 Chips Ahoy, mm-hmm. and then we wouldn't have anything till the next day. So... The sugar, and most of the time it was pure sucrose. It wasn't high fructose corn syrup. The sugar would travel to our brain. Our dopamine levels would go up. Our dopamine would find their receptor, create the neurotransmitter excitement. Woohoo, we had sugar type of thrill. And then it would drop back down. Because it's in everything, our dopamine levels go higher and higher and higher. So... Our levels never drop. So our neurotransmitter receptors actually downregulate themselves and say, hey, if you're going to keep eating this all the time, we don't need all our receptors. So they actually drop the number. So then we get a dopamine rush and the dopamine levels stay high because there aren't enough receptors for what we're getting. So it's kind of a constant back and forth, just like when you're on cocaine. And you always wait for the next hit of dopamine.
Is it fair to say, or maybe it doesn't have anything to do with it, that the more sugar you eat, the more you crave it, like you need more of it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Kind of like, yeah, drugs where you can eat a little bit, then you eat more. The more you eat, then the more you crave it, the more you need, the more you eat, you more.
Right. I think in this case, when we're talking about the brain and the neurotransmitters, it's the more you crave.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the body goes, the problem in the actual body is when we eat high fructose corn syrup, sucrose, glucose, whatever, except for fructose, fruit is metabolized a totally different way. But our insulin levels go up. So fat cells and muscle cells have insulin receptors. So as soon as the pancreas sees simple sugar, I think we've talked about this before, a big rush of insulin comes up. The insulin transports the glucose to both our fat and our muscle cells, and it's stored. And that leaves us with an empty blood sugar. And the body goes, oh, blood sugar is empty. You need some more.
Mm-hmm.
The fiber in fruit is what creates such a big difference between both the dopamine and the body's reaction. But because sugar is in everything and it's a great amount of our calories, our body isn't feeling satisfied mm-hmm. because it's not getting the nutrients. Mm-hmm. If we would eat fruit, which would be full of the vitamins and the minerals, the body would be satisfied. But because we're eating empty calories with the sugar, the body never says, I have the vitamins and the minerals. Mm-hmm. So you keep wanting more and more and more.
So talk a little bit more, because I tell you what, one thing that drives me nuts is I feel so badly that there is this conception out there that fruit is bad. If it's not because they're on keto,
mm-hmm.
then it's because it's sugar. And I I will say it's not the same. Really? Well, why isn't it the same? And I don't know all of the facts. I just know it's not the same. It can't possibly be the same. It's a natural food. It can't. And I know that sugar is a plant too, but it goes through a process. So it's not that, but me eating an apple is not the same as you having sweet tarts.
Right.
It's not the same.
Because of the fiber. Two basic reasons. Fructose is fruit sugar in its natural form. So we're getting the vitamins and the minerals. A Pop-Tart is nothing in its natural form. High fructose corn syrup is not natural. Okay, so remind me to go back to that. Also, any fiber that you eat with your fruit, so you want to eat the apple peel, you want to eat the entire berry, you could eat the outside of a pineapple. Mm-hmm. It would just really hurt coming out.
Right.
the visual.
But the fiber slows down your insulin response. Whenever your fiber levels in your food are high, the pancreas only squirts out a little bit of insulin. And your pancreas does squirt. It doesn't open a floodgate and let everything out. It kind of pulses. So whenever insulin comes out, it's a little psst.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need some more? Psst. But when processed sugar comes out, it's psst, psst, psst.
Oh,
so man. Your levels go up higher, faster, and your sugar gets stored. Fruit is actually metabolized in your liver, so it takes longer to get into your bloodstream. And once it gets in your bloodstream, the fiber slows down the insulin response. Here's another kicker for processed sugar. High fructose corn syrup actually turns off your leptin receptors.
Mm-hmm.
So leptin is a hormone that comes out when your body has had enough food, when you have the energy stores to do something, because leptin is made in your fat cells. So your fat cells monitor how much adipose have I stored. So adipose tissue makes the leptin. It comes out, goes to your brain, looks for a receptor. But if you've had high fructose corn syrup, that high fructose corn syrup is blocking the leptin receptor.
Oh,
so your brain never gets the message that you're full when you have high fructose corn syrup.
No joke.
I know.
No joke. High fructose corn syrup and MSG both block leptin receptors.
That's why.
And it's in everything.
You're not supposed to eat MSG.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't you find, too, that one of the other... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
One of the other problems, too, is there's a bazillion names for sugar.
There's 55 names for
sugar. It's very confusing.
There's 55 names. Yes.
So you could even see, and it says, oh, there's only this much sugar, but then it's got, you know, like...
Words you can't pronounce.
Rice syrup or all of these other syrups.
Honey, molasses, agave... High fructose corn syrup, everything. There's literally 55 different, and they do it on purpose because they don't
definitely.
Want you to realize that that's
definitely.
What's in there. So,
and then, so then you read the label and you're like, oh, okay, well, it's not that bad. And then you start reading down to all the ingredients and it's so crazy.
And so, probably one of the worst suspects for us in the fitness business is energy bars.
Oh, yeah.
Energy bars are horrible about putting sugar in under a different name.
Brown rice syrup.
Yes, exactly.
Well, because if you don't put that in, they're just like dirt.
Yes, they're horrible.
They're just horrible. Like if you had them just as they're supposed to be, they're not. Yeah.
So what about things, though, like, for instance, when I want to sweeten something, rather than getting the table sugar, I may put some pure maple syrup a little bit in there. Does that metabolize the exact same way as the white sugar?
Yes.
You know what they say, put agave
and honey
syrup in there.
Mm-hmm. Raw honey is your best bet.
Okay.
But again, it's sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So what about like monk fruit, where it says that has a zero glycemic effect is what it says on the front of the bag?
Well, if you're eating out of a bag, it's obviously man-made.
Yeah, processed, right.
Yes. So,
yeah, you had mentioned in a previous podcast about, you know, right now everybody's like, don't use Splenda, use Stevia, use, you know, Truvia, use. And you had said, well, it's still all processed somewhere and put in a little tiny, you know, bag.
And most of your Stevia is GMOs.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what they're doing to our body? And no The FDA has no regulations for what a person puts on a label. So on your monk fruit that yes. has no glycemic response.
Yes.
Okay, number one, I'd like to see how they prove that, because everybody has a different glycemic response mm-hmm. to everything. You can't say, I'm going to give all three of us a piece of white bread and our pancreas is going to let out the same amount of insulin.
Right.
It doesn't happen that mm-hmm. way. So everything is just a estimation and approximation.
So I know that
raw honey is
the best bet
if I'm going to use some type of added sweetener.
No.
Okay.
But if you're going to use honey.
I'm really like trying
if you're going to use
here,
honey.
Use raw honey.
Use honey.
Well, like if you're
going
to bake. Or is it just okay to just put your couple tablespoons of sugar in there and just be done with it and just make sure the rest of the things that you eat are not processed so there's not a ton of sugar in
That's
everything.
That's it. That's it. Just
okay.
put in your sugar and keep it minimally.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I heard a statistic the other day that the 25% that our calories have gone up in our total caloric intake is due to processed sugar. And that 25% in a normal person's 2,000 calorie diet would be like gnawing on 2 pounds of raw sugar cane.
So, you know, when I lived in the Philippines, we did that.
Oh, I used to do it when I lived in Hawaii.
It.
I loved it.
I loved it so much. So, okay, so you say use the sugar. I mean, there's all types of sugar. There's pure cane sugar. There's
sugar in the raw.
I mean, like, does it matter? They're all the same?
I don't think that really matters.
Okay.
Sucrose is sucrose. And I bet if you looked on the back of each one of those, it would say they all contain the same carbohydrates.
So this is an interesting observation. I have two little bits in my life who, one of them, she's five now, but I knew her the second day she was born. So as she's growing up, when they're babies and you're first introducing food to them and baby food and peas and, you know, mom was really good about vegetables and fruit and avocado and stuff, and she ate everything. Okay, so then there comes that point in her life. So she's five now, and of course now she won't eat an avocado to save her life. It's got to be Chick-fil-A or something. So there's that point in her life as she's growing up where processed foods are introduced. Like, you can't help it. I mean, obviously she'll go to school and there'll be some things there that she'll get, and then you'll go to a friend's house or birthday parties or stuff. But what is it? Like, I was actually talking the other day about this to somebody, that whole introduction of it and how it just changes the palate. And, you know, I was talking to both of you before we started taping. I read this article a couple of years ago. I just happened to be online in CNN.com. They had this thing about how to, not eat sugar anymore and like just completely go cold turkey. And one of the things that she said was that you'll change your palate, you know, like your taste buds and stuff. So what, I mean, it's just fascinating that Nora ate peas and avocado and she very like fruits and stuff. And then all of a sudden one day, I don't know when it was, and now she won't have anything to do. I mean, she constantly complains about how she's starving because she doesn't like that food. It's so gross. And she wants Chick-fil-A and she wants this, that, and the other.
When you stop and think about it, though, that's normal in children, because children have less taste buds than adults do, but they're extremely sensitive. And when they can voice their opinion, that's when they start saying, I don't like that. And think about what your four taste sensations are. Sweet, bitter, salty,
and sour.
Sour.
Right. So which one of those is the most sensitive? Bitter, because back in the caveman days, you spit something out because poisonous things were usually bitter.
Right.
So once they can start voicing their opinions, their little sensitive taste buds do not like anything that tastes plantish, basically.
Yeah.
And then the processed food that we are eating is changing everything from our palate to our brain. I mean, we live in a Las Vegas of food. Everything is exotic and tantalizing. And our food manufacturers have something called a bliss point.
Mm-hmm.
And they purposely know how much sugar to put in a food product just to the point to get us addicted, but not to the point where you put down your fork and say, that's too sweet.
Right.
And that's what they aim for. And there's also something called hyper palatable foods. When you stop and think about what any sit down restaurant does, especially think sports bars, where you have potato skins,
mm-hmm.
where they've taken a starchy carbohydrate, which is fine by itself, but then you deep fry it. And then you put on something with a little salt on mm-hmm. it, and then you put some more deep fried, you know, whatever on
cheese
top of it.
Cheese and bacon
right,
bits.
And sour cream.
Mm-hmm.
So they know exactly how to make the food hyper palatable so your brain starts screaming for more. The good news is when you give up sugar, they say it takes an average of 10 days to 2 weeks to change your palate back to the point where you don't want it anymore. Where you
that's
pick something
that,
up.
But, yeah, that's
too.
Not bad because, you know, you always think about it takes 28 days, 30 days right. to break a habit or whatever.
So my husband has given up sugar yeah. now for, I think it's been 7 months, and he went cold turkey, and it was awful in the beginning. I mean, he every day was like, I want it so bad. Mm-hmm. So bad. I don't even know what to do. I mean, it was, and it took him easily. I think it was around, cause he was really keeping track. And I think it was around the fifth week where he started to notice the positive effects of having given up the sugar, where his thoughts were
mm-hmm.
more clear. And, he started eating vegetables. Before that, he really wouldn't eat vegetables mm-hmm. and he started really getting into salads and loving how everything tastes. He's still not super exotic, but he didn't used to eat any of those. And I think he must taste them now.
Right.
They
just taste better maybe.
Yeah. That palate has recovered or whatever.
Yeah. Because they say that when you cut processed sugar out, then things like fruit, you know, that have sugar in it taste so much sweeter. Than before. So,
you can go back to fruit being your dessert.
Right.
And it mm-hmm. truly tastes like a dessert. It tastes sweeter now.
Yeah.
So can you eat too much fruit?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing. I mean, you can eat too much of anything, I'm
right.
sure. But is there, I guess in terms of it being too much sugar and causing, yeah. you know, weight gain and all that kind of stuff. I mean, before you answer, in my brain, I think, okay, I would rather eat an apple than a Twinkie. So don't judge me on eating 5 apples in one day versus, you know, me reaching for 5 Twinkies.
Right.
Right. Well, what you have to look at is you have to look at the fact that any sugar, and we're talking any carbohydrate, so a fruit, a vegetable, anything is made up of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. So whenever you start eating any type of carbs, you hold on to water. Not a big deal. You just might feel a little bloated. But the H and the O from the CH and the O make you hold on to water. You have the C left over. Carbon can become toxic in your body in too high of amounts.
Okay.
So your body has two outs. Remember, it brings everything back to homeostasis, which is what people in America don't realize. Your body, if you eat correctly, your body always has a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
It knows how to bring everything back to homeostasis. So, two different things that your body can do. When carbon becomes toxic, you start storing those carbon atoms as saturated fat,
okay.
which is why you hear all the time, eat too many carbs and they turn into fat.
Right.
Well, eat too much of anything and they turn into
right.
fat. And then the other thing that happens is if your sugar, any kind of sugar, floats too long in your bloodstream, which shouldn't happen if you're eating fruit, because the pancreas isn't going to let out the insulin. But it will happen if you're eating high fructose corn syrup or something that whoosh, whoosh, whoosh
right.
out. So sugar that stays in your bloodstream too long turns into something called an advanced glycation end product. And it's abbreviated AGE. They're called AGEs. And they're proteins that are extremely sticky. And they actually increase your risk of many things, cancer, heart disease, so inflammation,
that's why they say, okay.
All of that. But that's what your body does to get out of that carbon that's in your bloodstream for a long period of time. But if you're eating fructose, the fiber will slow down the insulin response, so everything gets metabolized. If you eat correctly, your hormones will balance themselves.
Yeah, that's where I'm. That's the point where
to
be.
I got to give up sugar.
And I know I have to, and I want to. I actually want to. I do. I felt great when I did it that little bit of time, and I want to get to that point. And so I'm going to, I mean, that's one of my goals to, after the first of the year, is to like really focus on.
Yeah, you can tell.
Look at Anissa's face.
What are the side effects of giving up sugar, if you know? Like, what am I getting?
Anything?
I've done it like for 5 days before, and it was.
I can't believe it. Like, what are the side effects of giving up sugar? What are the pros of giving up?
Well, we could hear that after
you
I hear what's
so
going to be
funny.
Bad in my body first.
Well, in those 5 days, how did you feel?
Like shit.
Like a
tired.
Bitch.
I was tired.
Yeah.
I had a headache.
It's like being addicted to cocaine.
Exactly. You're giving
Withdrawals.
Up a drug. You're giving
I did
up a
it.
Drug.
So I did. I had to do a 7-day detox.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yeah.
I warned everybody. I warned my bosses. I said, I've got to give up. I've got to wean off the sugar and the caffeine for these 7 days. And I didn't go. We had a team dinner. I didn't even go because I was like, I am such a bitch.
And you couldn't eat the food.
Food. I was like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want anybody to even talk to me or look at me. I'm going home. It was terrible. I couldn't barely think. Couldn't barely at first. It was terrible. But you can do anything.
Yeah.
And you know what I kept telling myself while I was at work? I could be addicted to heroin and these withdrawals could be even worse, but I'm not. So I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. Like that's, I literally sat there and told myself that. There were times where I didn't think
so. Of course I could do it. I just, ugh.
Here's the thing. I think that there are times when my sugar gets out of control, when I start thinking, when I quit thinking it's a treat, you know, if you're going to have a cookie, I'm going to go to the Philadelphia market
right.
in Philly, and I'm going to have a good chocolate
cookie.
chip cookie. I'm not going to have an Oreo where the Crisco in the middle is made out of the same ingredients that you eat, that you make soap out of.
I mean,
let's choose our sugar wisely. But think about it. When you eat sugar and your insulin comes out, opens your walls, you store that sugar and it makes your cell have energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's anabolic. It makes your body hold on to things. Here, I think, is the really kicker that made me put it in perspective. Cancer cells and precancerous cells love sugar.
Right. You had said that in a previous podcast.
Think what cancer is. It is a precancerous cell that has grown out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see something on your body that is might maybe just be growing minuscule, you really don't think too much about it.
Right.
But if you see a lump or a bump that is growing largely quickly, that's when you start to panic. And cancer feeds off of that sugar and makes it grow big, large, in a hurry. There's your tumor, crowds out your healthy cells.
Yeah, you'd alluded to that in a previous. Okay, so let's talk about the pros then. So, I mean, obviously, other than, you know, not causing additional fat storage and not promoting cancer, but what other pros, but not having sugar and eating it in your life?
Okay,
what are there?
So less risk of cancer, less chance of additional weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel full quicker because of the leptin. We know that processed sugar increases the inflammation in your body. So things like arthritis is going to decrease. Your joint pain when you wake up in the morning and first walk down those stairs. Any place where you might have any joint discomfort from lack of synovial fluid or bone spurs or anything like that. Your brain is going to become clearer because it's thought that processed sugar increases the tangles in your brain that cause Alzheimer's. And like your husband said, he felt much clearer after 5 weeks. I don't think you start searching for words quite as soon after that. We talked about in a previous episode, sugar being the exfoliant inside your arteries. It damages your arteries. It throws your hormones out of whack. We could go on and on and on.
Right.
Those advanced glycation end products actually have been known to clog up smaller arteries. So again, you have a higher risk of heart disease, whereas most folks attribute that to high amounts of fat, and it's not. It's high amounts of processed sugar for the most part.
Okay, so now give us some tips on how we can get rid of sugar in our lives. Other than going cold turkey.
Honestly, cold turkey is the best way to go because it is a drug. So if you don't go cold turkey, you keep setting your dopamine receptors up to go, woo, we're having sugar. Woo, we're having sugar. I want more sugar. So cold turkey definitely is the way to go. And just deal with those 5 to 10 days of, oh, I'm miserable. There are people that believe both ways, that when you're giving it up, you should have fruit, and there's other people that believe you shouldn't. I personally feel that having fruit worked for me because that was kind of my brainwashing of I'm having sugar. When I get up in the morning, I do strawberries, pineapple, pineapple juice because it's so good for your inflammation, with my Greek yogurt. And I'd say to myself, this is my sugar. It's sweet. You know, the pineapple gave it that little citrusy, I'm on an island, you know, type of thing. And now I just basically, I really read labels. I don't bring a lot of things that have labels into my house. But when I do bring something home, I look at how much sugar is in it. And the added sugar, if it says added sugar, it doesn't come into my house. Sometimes when I'm traveling, I have to do it. I just try and make sure my protein number always outweighs my added sugar number. So, because protein slows down your glycemic response.
Okay.
Is there any place or any website or any place that you can suggest where people can find out those 55 different words, names for sugar, or is anything? I mean, you could just, Google it.
You put in your search bar other names for sugars. Yeah, and it'll come out. I mean, usually it's something that ends in OSC. It's your dextrins, it's your maltose, and things like that.
So one other thing that I could think that maybe our listeners would be interested in, well, actually, they'll be mortified about listening to, but so the idea of giving up the sugar, but you're still having a glass of wine every day or two glasses of wine, like, is there a difference in the sugar from fermentation than there is from processed sugar?
I don't have that problem. I don't drink alcohol.
Right. But I know that some people, for sure, they may do well with the rest of their diet. But, you know, maybe two nights a week they have wine, or I don't know. I will have wine occasionally, but I'm not a big.
Most of the time people are drinking wine with some kind of food.
Right.
So that food itself, unless it's an extremely high carb meal. But, I mean, I think wine and cheese. So let's just use that as an example. The fat and the protein and the cheese will slow down the insulin response.
Okay.
Here's my take on it. If you're drinking alcohol, the least of your concerns is the amount of sugar.
Okay.
Alcohol is a neurotoxin. It kills nerve cells. It kills liver cells. You know, it should be a treat. It shouldn't be an every night thing.
Brian.
And you also told us about how it blocks the testosterone. So if you are trying to, if you're giving up the sugar because you're really trying to make some type of a change in your physical, you know, whether it's how you look or how you feel and you're working out, you undermine all of that with the alcohol.
If you eat right, your hormones balance themselves. But alcohol is not eating right. And that's where everybody says, well, resveratrol. The majority of your resveratrol studies were done on animals, not people. And if you want resveratrol, eat grapes. Because mm-hmm. the minute you add alcohol, it's a neurotoxin.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I like grapes. I ate some today.
I brought an entire thing full of grapes to work because there's so much junk everywhere
yeah.
that I just kept especially that at my desk now. So that I would not venture mm-hmm. into all of the holiday goodies that are everywhere. So over the course of 2 days, I ate a Tupperware thing full of grapes, but I'd rather do that than all
when
of the
I lived
other
in
stuff.
When we lived in the Philippines years ago, you know, in the Philippines is a very poor country. So you didn't get a treat. Treats. It would be a treat to get a bar of chocolate or something, but the amount of fruit, like just the exotic, lovely, wonderful fruit. I mean, we ate the hell out of some fruit while we were there. And I just remember, you know, only getting chocolate bars and stuff. And we lived there several different times, but the longest period of time we were there for, I think a year and a half, we would get like a chocolate bar at like Christmas or your birthday or anything. And it's not because, I mean, that was a long time ago. I'm sure now it's different, but it wasn't as easy to go out and buy, but we ate fruit all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was so delicious. You know what I mean? Like it was just different.
Watermelon's
a different place
my favorite
there.
Food,
yeah.
Period.
I remember
I
you saying
it.
That.
I mean, I love it. I eat it with salt. It's so good.
I just love watermelon itself. So I'm just, every time Melissa's here, it's just so eye opening.
And the next time she comes back, I'm going to be able to proudly say that I have given up sugar. That is my goal.
Okay.
Shit.
Cause you know, she's coming in like fairly regularly. Like,
I know,
you know, we're getting her on the schedule.
I know.
To get...
And now I've put it out there. So the next okay. time I better be able to say that I have not eaten a treat.
And Melissa's like looking at you, look at her.
Oh my gosh. Now that doesn't mean that if I didn't, if I make like a loaf of bread or something and there calls for, I'm not talking about that. Like I could put sugar in a recipe, but I'm not going to be eating.
Well, let's,
chocolate or caramel covered popcorn or Cracker Jacks, or
you can use fruit as a sugar base for some stuff, can't
applesauce
you?
Applesauce, like, you can put in
applesauce or
yes,
bananas sometimes.
I'm
yeah.
not a dates. Cooker, I'm not a baker,
yeah, I'm not either.
But I bet you could search in your search mm-hmm. bar how you substitute
right.
an equal amount of such and such for so much mm-hmm. sugar. But remember, there's a ton of sugar in things like salad dressings.
Yeah, yeah. I don't eat salad dressing.
Okay, all right. So yep, I was going to say, you're setting yourself by saying I'm not yep. going to eat any sweets. Then your sugar goes back up and your dopamine goes back up unless yep. you really like make your own salad dressing.
Right.
Yep. Use
mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't
lemon.
Put any. I don't put any salad dressing okay. on my. I don't even put balsamic vinegar
she
on
doesn't.
My salads. Mm-hmm. I don't. I just like the flavor
she
of it. So the really, the place where I'm bad is I love to eat.
Junk.
Crappy ash. Like, I love gummy bears. Like, I freaking love them.
Yeah.
I can't eat, you know, and I got to stop because.
There's nothing in a gummy bear.
I know.
My sister says
the
Swedish
like
fish are made out of.
I love those too.
Sort of waxy
I love
substance.
Good and Plenty's. I love licorice. I love all of it. And it's not like I have it every day, but I can honestly say in the last year, I have gotten worse about it. And. You're right. Mm-hmm. I just got to, and here's the thing, like, I don't even really have it at home because my husband's not eating it. So I'm not like that person when you're
it's
doing
your
so
time,
well that I like bring
now,
it home.
You.
I don't do that. It's not, I don't do that in front of him, but then if I want it, I have it out, but I'm going to do it. All right, Ellen.
Accountability to do it.
I know I'm going to do it. All right.
This was good.
Yes.
I love it when Melissa comes.
I do too.
And then we've got to listen back to the podcast and we have to write all our notes. I know. I'm serious.
Yep.
All right, girl. Do it.
You can hear Anissa and Ellen on multiple platforms. You can visit atlpn.com, AtlantaPodcastNetwork.com, and on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Spotify, Pandora,
and iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio. And we're Googleable, so you can just Google Anissa Ellen Raw, and you will find us. Yes,
just search for ATL Podcast Network or Anissa and Ellen Raw to find our show at Anissa Amison, at Ellen Nickel on Instagram, at ATL Podcast Network, at Atlanta Podcast Network.
Awesome.
This was so good.
I know.
This is a good one. A good one.
It's going to be so hard.
Thank you, Melissa.
You're welcome.
My pleasure.
See ya.